はい、じゃあ今日は、先週の続きで黙示21章、今回はその町の、基礎とかその、石のことをについて学びたいと思います。 So we're going to look at the stones of the city. Okay, soLet's begin. はじめは、まず日本語でやりました。はい、じゃあまず9節を始めましょう。はい、21の9。はい、じゃあまた、最後の7つの災害の満ちているあの7つの鉢を持っていた7人の御使いの1人が来て、彼は私に話してこう言った。ここに来なさい。私はあなたに子羊の妻である花嫁を見せましょう。そして御使いは御霊によって私を大きな高い山に連れていて、聖なる都エルサレムでが神の身元から出て天から下ってくるのを見せた。都には神の栄光があった。その輝きは高価な宝石に似ており、透き通った碧玉のようであった。はい、でちょっと飛ばして、18節までいきましょう。その城壁は碧玉で作られ、都はまじれけのないガラスに似た純金でできていた。都の、城壁の土台石はあらゆる宝石で飾られていた。第一の土台は碧玉、第二はサファイア、第三は、玉髄、第四は緑玉、第五は、赤しまめの、第六は赤めの、第7は、キカラン石、第8は玉柱石、第9は、宝玉、第10は緑玉髄、第11は、青玉、第12は、紫水晶であった。はい、で21章21節、また12の門は十二の、真珠であった。 どの門もそれぞれ一つの真珠からできていた。都の大通りは、透き通ったガラスのような純金であった。はい、はい、そういうことです。じゃあ前も、この二十一章をいろいろな側面を見て学びましたけど、今度はその、最初に読んだ箇所をまず始めると、この町は花嫁です。この町は教会を表しているので、天から降りてくる私たちの永遠の住まいはちょうど私たちに合っていることです。でその特徴は教会の最高の完全な特徴を表している。先週はその城壁があるというのは神様がずっと私たちを守っているということ、門がずっと開いているというのは私たちはもう出たり入ったり活動している、永遠ではずっと座っているわけではない、働くことです。出ていていろいろやってまた帰ってくることです。で今日はこの石のことを考えたいと思います。まず土台ですね。土台、この土台はじゃあなんで何を表している、今の教会の状態、私たちの永遠の状態をどういう側面を表しているでしょう。例えば14節から見 見ましょう。また都の城壁には12の土台石があり、それには子羊の十二使徒の十二の名が書いてあった。この土台石、私たちの土台石はじゃあ何でしょう。教会の土台石って何でしょう。まあ自分の人生の土台石は何でしょう。私たちの人生は何にの上に基づいているでしょう。建てられているでしょう。あのイエス様の、例え話で、あの砂の上に家を建てるものは、その洪水が来た時にその家が倒れる。あ、じゃあ岩の上に立つもの、家を建てるものは、その洪水とかあの風が来ても、あ、それはあの立つ、そのまま、倒れないということ。じゃあ私たちの永遠の状態、永遠に私たちはしっかりした状態で存在しますけど、じゃあ今はどうでしょう。まあそれについてちょっといろんな箇所をあの聞きましょう。じゃあまずは第二テモテ2章19節、はい、第二テモテ2章、19節を見ましょう。土台といえば2章の19節、はい、じゃあ19節、それにもかかわらず神の不動の礎は固く置かれて、それに次のような銘が刻まれています。主はご自分に属するものを知っておられる。また主の皆を呼ぶ者は誰でも不義を離れよ。まあ土台石は一番基本、そういう意味でしょう。一番基本に、私たちはもうクリスチャン生活で何を知っても、どんなことを知っても、有名であっても有名じゃなくても、頑張っても頑張れなくても、あのとにかく神様は自分のものを知っている。私たちは神様のものであるか、であろうか。で自分の名前が、自分の額に神様の名が書いてあるか。もし私たちは神様のものだったら、あの不義から離れようということ。この人生では、まあ、基本の基本というのは、私たちは神様のものですということ。それをまあちょっと考えてみてください。この世の中にいろいろな、まあ、部活とかサークルとか会社とか教会とか、いろいろなあの団体に入ってるかもしれないですけど、でも基本的に自分が神様のものです。で神様は自分のものは知っています。時々私たちは、まあ、あの何もうまくいってないなと考えている。周りのことではなくても、自分の中に成長、なかなか成長してない、なかなかあの乗り越えられない、同じ罪と常に格闘している、あの同じ失敗を次々します。けど、まあ、最終的にあの神様のものだったら私たちは大丈夫です。神様は自分のものは知っています。まあ神様のものは弱いです。神様は羊かい、羊はあの弱いものです。賢くないものです、ね、あの賢いものもありますけどな、犬とか。でも神様は自分の群れを羊と、表しました。はい、あ、羊と例えました。あの私たちは人についていく傾向がある。あんまり何も分からない傾向がありますけど、でもあの基本の基本、私たちは主のもの。じゃあ主のものだったら何をすべきか、不義から離れましょう。本当にあの何かが間違っているとか良くないと思ったら離れようということ。それは私たちの土台石です。教会の土台石。さっき言ったのはもう一つ、あの、ルカ6章、まあ、ルカ6章の48、49はあの 先に読んだんですけど、言ったけど、ルカ6章48、その人は地面を深く掘り下げ、岩の上に土台を、据えて、それから家を建てた人に似ています。洪水になり、川の、水が、その家に押し寄せた時も、しっかり建てられていたから、びくともしませんでした。はい、それはどういう人でしょうか。それはこういう人です。神様の御言葉を聞いて、それを実行する。47節、私の身元に来て私の言葉を聞き、それを行う人たちがどんな人に似ているか、あなた方に示しましょう。私たちの基本、基礎意志、土台意志は、イエス様から聞いたことを成し遂げる、実際にやる、実際に実行する。実は神様からいろんなことを言われません。大体人からいっぱい言われる、ね、学校に行ってもう散々覚えさせられる、覚えられないぐらいですけど、神様はそんなことはしない。神様は、はい、今週にレビを全部暗記しなさいとか、そんなことは言わない。神様は例えば祈るときはちゃんと扉を閉めて集中できるようにしましょうとか、神様は、いや、お金はまず神様の奉仕を考えてから管理しましょうとか、神様は私たちにその敵を許すようにとか、もうそんな怒らなくてもいいとか、神様も本当に小さな小さな言葉を与えます。今日は今朝エリアの話を読みました。でエリアはすごい大きなことをやってた。バールの預言者たちに打ち勝って3年半の飢饉が終わった時に、もう彼の言葉通りに雨が降ってた。すごいことをやってた。でも彼はすごい鬱に負けて、ベルシバに行ってしもべをその場で置いて、もうどんどんアルノに行ってドアナに行きましたけど、その行っている間に彼は疲れ果てて寝た。で起き上がった時に主の天使イエス様が隣にいて、パンを一つ与えたと水を与えた。何も言わなかった。それだけ。まあ言ったのは食べよう。で次に彼は寝た。で次に起きた時にまたパンと水を与えて、まあ旅が長いからあなたは疲れているから食べてください、食べなさいって言いました。で40日間その力によって行きました。まあそれは面白いというのは、神様はいっぱいいっぱいエリアに言わなかった。エリア、なんでここにいる、なんでそんな鬱、もう私はいろんないいことをやっているんじゃないですか、あなたはバールの預言者たちに打ち勝ったではないですかとか、そんなこと何も言わない。ただはい、このパン食べてください、次は旅が長いからこのパンと水を受け入れてください、それだけ。神様本当に優しいけど与えられるものは小さいけど、与えられるものは実行しなければならない。私たちの失敗は言われていることを、ああなるほど分かった、で次新しいことを聞こうとしているけど、先に聞いたもの、聞いたことを守ろうとしない、そういう家は倒れる。教会の土台意志は神様に言われることを実行する。まあ永遠にそれが私たちはもう覚えることです。神に言われることを実行しましょう。神様は自分のものは知ってる。神様はに言われた言葉を 実行しましょう。小さなことでもやりましょう、うん、あ、また他の人たちにいっぱいいっぱい言わないように私たちも気をつけなければならない。神様そうしないから、もう少しずつ少しずつ必要だけ与えて、 でもちゃんとその神様に与えられているもの、与えられている御言葉を実行しましょう。ヘブル書6章1節、私たちの信仰の土台はじゃあ何でしょう。信仰の土台はこういうことです。ですから私たちはキリストについて初歩の教えを後にして成熟を目指して進もうではありませんか。死んだ屋内からの改心、神に対する信仰、清めの洗いについての教え、手を置く儀式、死者の復活、とこしえの裁きなど基礎的なことを再びやり直したりしないようにしましょう。まあそれも私たちの信仰の基礎。私たちはそのポイントをしっかり理解しなければならない。まあキリスト教には難しいこといっぱいありますけど、もうこれは絶対に失敗してはならない。絶対にこれぐらいは心に留めなければならない。じゃあ基礎的なことは何でしょう。もう一回見ましょう。死んだ屋内から改心。それは自分の屋内によって神様の前に恵みを得ようとしないこと。でもクリスチャン、本当に成熟したクリスチャンでもそんなことは よくします。私もよくします。祈ったから神様に喜ばれる。献金してるからとか、いっぱいやったからとか、教えたから、分かったからとか、いや、それは死んだ改心。私たちは神様に信じることです。それだけです。だから、もう自分は失敗と思っても大丈夫です。神様は失敗しない。神様は忠実。自分じゃなくて、神様は忠実。そういう自分が正しくなろうという、まあ、努力をやめて神様の恵みを受け入れること。はい、次は神に対する信仰、まあ神様を本当に信じる。で、多くの教えはそれ神様を本当に全てを与えている、全てを治めている王様と信じていたら、じゃあなんで私たちは心配する？心配しなくてもいい。ね、例えば癒されないときは心配しなくてもいい。例えば明日のものは今ないとだっても大丈夫です。神様を信じる。例えば大変なことが人生に入ってきたっても、神様はその中で良い目的があることを信仰しましょう。その方がいいでしょう。楽でしょう。ね。心配して何があるでしょう、うん、何が心配してるというのは、本当は自分の期待をしっかり持って神様の信仰を自分の期待に合わせようとしていることですけど、でも自分の期待は神様だったら、じゃあ神様に与えられるものは何でもいいです。はい、それは信仰です。次、清めの洗いについての教え、まあバプティズマのことだと思いますけど、私たちはもう基本の基本、信じたらバプティズマを受けるべきです。それは自分が死んで自分が蘇ったことを示すため。また手を置く儀式、手を置く儀式はまあ自分が聖霊に満たされていることは他の信者が認めることです。私たちは互いのためにまあ互いの、賜物とか聖霊の働きをまあ認めなければならない。まあよくしないね、これ私たちは。だからもうちょっとこれをポイントで大事にしなければならないかもしれないけど、それはまあ聖霊のバプティズマというか、私たちの兄弟姉妹は 神様の聖霊に満たされて、もっともっと神様に使えるように、その祈りです。まあ互いに祈り合いしましょう。はい。でもこれは基礎的です。基礎的です。また死者の復活、とこしえの裁き、まあそれは基礎的。はい。私たちの基礎はそういうものには間違ってはならない。それはまあ絶対に全てのクリスチャンはしっかり理解する必要があります。まあでもそれだけではないね。だから今までは何でしょう、神様は自分のものをしてる、私たちは不義から離れる、それは一つ、言われることをしっかり聞く、で実行する、いっぱい聞くよりもちょっと聞いたことでも守る、ね、まあ赤信号を止めるかことかもしれない、スピード出せないようにとか、そういうことかもしれない、優しく語るとか、自分の信仰をもっと堂々と話そうということかもしれない、神様に言われることを守る、まあ私たちの信仰の基礎。で次に、じゃあローマ15章、これは面白い、ローマ15章、20節、ローマ15章の20節を、次の基礎的なことを言いましょう。はい。じゃあパウロは自分のことを言いました。このように私は他人の土台の上に立てないように、キリストの皆がまだ語られてないところに福音を述べ伝えることを切に求めたのです。うん。パウロ、これはもう本当に個人的なことです。パウロはこのように、私は他人の土台の上に立てられないように、キリストの皆がまだ語られてないところに福音を述べ伝えることを切に求めたのです。ということは、パウロは他の人の神様の働き、他の人にある神様の働きの上に自分の奉仕を立てないようにしました。つまり神様は私たち個人的の中に、自分の中に働いている、その土台の上に立てることです。うん。比べてはならない。他の人の奉仕に入ろうとしてはならない。神様が私たちの中に何をしているか、それが大事です。それは基本です。他の人はいろいろやってるかもしれない。他の人は考古学を学ぶ専門家かもしれないけど、他の人は伝道師かもしれない。他の人はたくさんのお金を献金するかもしれないけど、まず自分の心の中で、自分の人生の中で、神様はあなたに何の働きをしている、その土台の上に自分の信仰を、自分の、まあ、霊的な生活を、立てましょう。それが重要です。他の人の土台じゃなくて、神様は皆さんの中で。そうするともうちょうどいいものができるでしょう。私たちは他の人を真似してはならない。逆に神様は、じゃあ私の中で、この文脈の中でどんな働きをしているか。フィリピンだったらそんなことしているかもしれないけど、今は日本、昭和時代とか明治時代だったらそんなことをしていたかもしれないけど、今は冷静です。令和で、そう、他の国だったらこんなことしてるかもしれないけど、今はこの国、この教会、この町、この時代、この場所です。神様はここでやろうとしている。そう覚えなかったらきっと不満になります。なんかいろんな宣教師の方、彼らは出ていて、ね、福音を伝えたい、たくさんの人が信じるけど、私は伝えても誰も信じない、あ、じゃあ自分がダメですとか思うかもしれない。 でもその人たちの土台じゃなくて自分の土台、神様は私たちの人生にじゃあどんなことをしているか、どんな経験を与えたか、どんな知識を与えたか、どんな賜物を与えているか、それを考える。はい、じゃあもう一つ、あと二つありますので、基本的基礎的なこと。じゃあ次はルカ14章、ルカ14章、これもまあ面白いね、全部面白いけど14の29見ましょう。14の29、まあ28から読みましょうか。塔を気づこうとするときに、まず座って完成に十分の金があるかどうか、その費用を計算しないものがあなた方のうちに一人でもあるでしょうか。基礎を気づいただけで完成できなかったら、見ている人はみんな彼をあざ笑って、この人は建て始めはしたのもの、完成できなかったと言うでしょう。まあ計算しなさい。私たちは計算しなければならない。それは基礎です。基本的なこと。今やろうとしていることは無理じゃないですか。いや、私はいっぱいこれで失敗します。たくさんのことを始めようとするで途中でやめる。でそれは良くない。悪い例を見せています。最初は計算して本当に最後までいけるかちゃんと計算してからやりましょう。この方針はじゃあこの方針をするなら、例えば、まあ、ホームスクーリングを例として、ホームスクーリングをするならどれだけの時間はそのレッスンに捧げなければならない。なぜならホームスクーリングしない人の方が随分時間があることは決まっている。で、その人たちと比べてはならない。彼らができることは自分より多い。まあ、フルタイムで働いている場合も同じです。あと、まあ、ジョン・ウェズリーは、有名な人ですけど、ジョン・ウェズリーは結婚したときに、まあ、いろんな、最初は結婚しないと、まあ、制約ぐらいにしたけど、でも途中で、まあ、いい人に会って結婚した。で彼の兄弟チャールズとか周りの人たちに結婚しないようにすごく言われたけど、彼はいや結婚しますと言いました。でも結婚したら一切今の生活、今ぐらいの負担は一切に減らさないようにしますと宣言しました。どうなったでしょう。それはいい結婚生活になったでしょうか。もちろん失敗した。で本当に呪われている結婚生活をがありました。彼は彼の奥さんはその伝道集会の外で何やってるん、そんなやめて家に帰りなさいとかもう叫びながらすごく邪魔をしていた。だから彼はその結婚するぐらいの時間を考えなかった。どれだけの家族を育てるとか妻と一緒にいる時間を計算しなかった。いや大丈夫、もう今ぐらい の量でいけると思ってたけど、結局それは失敗した。ちなみにその人はずっと一生3時間しか寝なかった。毎日毎晩3時間。だからまあ特別な人で、普通の人はそんなことは考えないけど、でも彼でもそういう時に失敗します。まあどの奉仕が神様に与えられているものかを考えましょう。でそれを成し遂げるように、じゃあどれだけの時間、努力、集中を捧げなければならないか、それを計算、まず計算するのは基本です。そうするといいものを立てれるようになります。そうじゃないと倒れる。じゃあ まあ、最後にもう一つ、あの第一テモテ6章19節、第一テモテ6章19節、第一テモテ6章19節、基本、基礎的なこと、第一テモテ6の19、はい、ではじゃあ18からまた読みましょう。また人の益を図り、良い行いに富み、惜しまずに施し、喜んで分け与えるように、また誠の命を得るために未来に備えて良い基礎を自分自身のために築き上げるようにと書いています。面白いでしょ。そこで言っているのは、私たちは今永遠の住まいを建てている。今はその永遠の住まい、まあそれは実際の建物ではないと思います。それは多分霊的な祝福とかそういう意味だと思いますけど、でもまあ家を建てることですけど、私たちは今施すこと、喜んで自分のものを分け与えることによって人の益を図ること、良い行いに富むことを惜しまずに施し、そういうことをするによって永遠の基礎を据えている。面白いでしょ。今は自分のドリームホームを作っています。今後でではない、今作っていますよ。今はその神様の働きをやりながらその家を建てているところです。だからいっぱい与えるときに考えてみてください。今は永遠の家の土台を据えている、その素敵な家を実際に建てている、実際に。面白いでしょ。そう考えたら、じゃあ良い行いをするときには、例えば自分には損であっても大丈夫です。その絶対損にならない。それはまあ、お金を銀行に預けるぐらいです。自分のものですよ。誰にも囚われない。それは基本、基礎。私たちの基礎、じゃあ永遠の基礎は今建てられている。その美しい宝石の基礎は今作っているわけです。だからちゃんと作りましょう。はい、じゃあ私たち の基礎はそういうものです。じゃあその今の読んだ箇所を、チャットボックスの方に入れて、英語で読んでいる間にもう一度読んでみてください。はい。チャットに入れます。まあ、英語ですけど、多分皆さん、わかると思います。はい。じゃあ、では、英語で話します。OK, so, alright, so we are going to look today at the foundation of the eternal city of Jerusalem. So, in Revelation 21, we have been looking at various aspects of eternity, various aspects of our eternal existence. And we see here that John sees this eternal city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. So let's pick it up in verse 9, Revelation 21:9. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the last seven plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates, and on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now let's skip down a little bit to verse 14. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Okay, and then we'll skip a little bit further to 18. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and I wish they were as easy to say in Japanese as they are in English. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great city was a city of gold, as pure as transparent glass. Okay, so we see that these are the things that it's emphasizing here. It didn't tell us a lot of things. It didn't tell us what sort of buildings there are inside it. Because, well, I guess we are the ones who are going to decide what sort of buildings are going to be inside it. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. It didn't describe a lot of things it could have talked about, but it talks about two main points here. We got the wall, which we talked about last week, that God's... Why is there a wall in heaven anyway, right? Because God is showing that his eternal protection is over us. That's why we will never sin in heaven. That's why we'll never get anyone angry or upset. God is always going to be protecting us. Like it says, the angel will guard your foot unless you slip and against the stone. God is always going to be there to uphold us and protect us in heaven. That's why there's a wall around the city. But its gates are always open because there's no problem. And we're going to be active. We're not going to be sitting down and doing nothing for all eternity. We'll be going out and coming in and serving God actively. But that was what we talked about last week. Now in this section, it describes two things, the stones and the foundations. Let's think about this foundation for a second. The foundations... of what? The foundations of the city. But what is the city? The city is the bride of Christ. So the city is us. It's the church. I mean, we'll be living there, but in a sense, it is us. It is the mansion that Jesus said, I go to prepare for you. It is the building that we are also building as Christ works in us, and we're building up our faith in him. So that city represents us. It represents the church. The different aspects of that city represent the church. Gold is an eternal metal. It doesn't mention any silver, no copper, no nickel. These are corrosive things. Gold doesn't corrode, so it's an eternal thing, and it's pure gold. It's transparent gold. The light shines through it. And we'll get into that a little bit later as well. But what I want to say is that every aspect of this city represents the church. So what do the foundations represent? The foundations represent aspects of our faith. So what is the foundation of our church? What is the foundation of our faith? What do those foundation stones really mean? Let's find out what they mean, because if we get it right now, we'll have a right foundation all of eternity. But if we get the foundation wrong now, we won't have a foundation right for all of eternity. So let's begin. The first one, let's have a look at the first foundation. In 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19. He mentions the same word for foundation here. 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. And then we see in Revelation there was the inscriptions of the names of the apostles on the foundation. But it's sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. These are two things written on the foundation of God. And this is what our eternal city is based on. Number one, the Lord knows those who are his. We belong to God. You can belong to a company, a family, a country, a group, a circle, and many, many, many things in this world. But fundamentally, we belong to God. We should be very careful what we join, because our membership is with him. Now, that doesn't mean you can't join a company or something, but you can. But first and foremost, we belong to God. And before we join anything else, we should make sure that we understand the limits and the responsibilities of our membership in Christ. The Lord knows those who are His. I belong to Him, not somebody else. I'll try to be a good Japanese resident. I'll try to be a good Australian citizen. I'll try to be a good father, but I belong to God. First and foremost, I belong to Him. Now, if I belong to Him, He knows the ones that belong to Him, and He is going to separate the sheep and the goats. Sheep are not as strong as goats. We know that because in Daniel chapter 8, the goat beat the lamb, the ram, right? The goat representing Greece and the ram representing Persia. The goat was stronger. Goats are stronger, you know. And sheep are stupid. Goats are pretty stupid too. But sheep are very stupid. And they just follow each other. They get into trouble. They need a shepherd. It's hard for them to survive. And Jesus chose sheep to represent Christians. We're not smart. We're not strong. We need a shepherd. We wouldn't survive by ourselves. You know, you leave a sheep for a few years, it gets so much wool on it, it can hardly survive. We need constant care taken for us. And that's who we are. We're not strong. So if you think about that, the Lord knows who you are. He knows what we are inside. You might not feel strong. You might not feel successful. You might not feel that things are going well. You might feel that you're a failure again and again and again and again. But all that really matters is God knows if you're His or you're not. As long as your heart is humble before God and you're willing to understand and accept that you belong to Him, He is willing to accept us. But He says, anyone who names the name Christ, anyone who is a Christian, you call yourself by His name, we should depart from iniquity. Departing from iniquity, what God will tell us many things are wrong. We need to step aside and leave them. Departing from iniquity is what we can do. We can't be His. He chooses us and He accepts us and He holds us and no one can take us out of His hand. We can accept the grace of God and not worry about the feelings. I don't feel worthy. Of course you don't feel worthy because you're not. He is, and He is always loving and faithful and He will hold us. So don't worry about the feelings. But if you're a believer, depart from iniquity. If you find things in your life that you know are wrong, stop it. That's a foundational thing. That's something we've got to get right. That's something that's the basis of the Christian faith. The second one is in Luke 6. Let's have a look at what Luke 6 says. Luke 6, and we'll begin with 47. It says, as for everyone who comes to me, that's us, and hears my words, that's us, and puts them into practice, that may be us, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, the torrent struck the house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. Okay, so the foundation that we have that's going to make our house, our faith stand, is that we come to Him, we hear the words, and we put them into practice. Now, God doesn't give us 100 million things to remember all the time. He doesn't say, right, by next week I want you to have every law of Leviticus memorized with 3 applications and you've got to be able to tell us all. He doesn't do that. He usually just focuses on one little thing, one small thing. But if we're coming to Him, we've got to listen to what He's saying and keep that. The thing that's most important is the thing God spoke to you. Not what He spoke to someone else, but what He spoke to you. It's a big Bible. It contains many books. It contains many illustrations. And God is speaking to millions of people at the same time through this book. But He's not telling us all the same thing. He's telling some to do this, some to do that, some to be like this, some to be like that. The question is, what He's telling you, you've got to put into practice. It's that simple. That is foundational to our faith. If we do that, we'll have a strong foundation. But if we don't do that, we're not going to have a strong foundation. The tendency of us, and it's very easy, especially with our educated society, is to try to learn as many things as we can and get all this knowledge. But that's like having a very heavy weighted tower with a very weak foundation at the bottom. And as soon as things start to shake, it'll fall over. Right? All this head knowledge and no reality, bound to fall. It's a bit like the statue in Daniel. You know, the head was gold, very dense metal. But as you go down the statue, it ends up with stone, you know, and much, much lighter metals. It was very top-heavy. It was destined to fall from the beginning. And that's us if we don't keep the word of God. This morning in the Bible study, we were looking at Elijah, and when he got depressed and he ran down to Beersheba, he left his servant, went on to Horeb. And God, Jesus appeared to him. He was tired, he was upset, he wanted to die. He said, I want to just die. I don't want to be living anymore. It's finished. I've come to the end of myself. And Jesus came to him. And he didn't say to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? I've just done all these miracles. Didn't you understand what I did with Baal and Jezebel? And don't you understand my plan of the 3.5 years of famine? And he didn't say any of that. He just said, here's a piece of bread, eat it. And he went back to sleep. He ate the little bit of bread and water that God gave him. Jesus gave him, the angel of the Lord. And then he went back to sleep. And then later, when he woke up again, Jesus was there again. And he gave him another piece of bread and another glass of water and said, "The journey." This time he said a little bit more. The journey is too long for you. Eat this and go. That was all he said. Very simple. Just eat this. That's a bit like the way God is with us. He just comes and he gives us one little truth. That truth might be, don't run red lights. That truth might be, stop pushing people. That truth might be, when you pray, make sure you concentrate, or something like that. It could be anything, whatever God is speaking to you about in your life at the time, but it's a very small thing, one piece of bread, you know. But the important thing is Elijah ate that bread, and then he went 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that one little bit of bread. If you actually take the time to listen to that one little thing God spoke to you and put it into practice, you can do amazing things through that one little revelation. It's the revelation, that little revelation of God that he gave you, that will carry you through. That's basic, and we've got to understand this. This is the foundation of our life. Not to try to understand all of Christian history and every theology and every school of doctrine. But that may be important, but it's important to listen carefully to what God said to you. That's the foundation. Another one, repentance from dead works. Here Paul, we have to say that every time, in Hebrews chapter 6, he says a few things that are kind of really absolute basic to our faith. And he uses the same foundation word. He says again in Hebrews 6:1, therefore let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of, what are the foundations of our faith? Repentance from acts that lead to death. Faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, laying on of hands and resurrection from the dead and eternal judgment. Now these are things that we should know. There are many things we don't need to understand, but these are things we should understand. And these include stopping the works which we assume are going to give us eternal life. Works don't give us eternal life. They don't improve your righteousness in even the slightest way before God. Jesus is our righteousness, 100%, full stop. We can't do anything that will give us life. And the sooner we stop trying to do that, the better. Because depression comes because we can't achieve what we think we need to do. When they say, what should we do to work the works of God? Jesus said, believe. That's what he said, believe. Believe in me that I've already done the works of God. And then the second one is faith in God. Do you understand that God rules the world? He's in control of every event that ever happens to anyone. And why don't we believe him? Why do we get upset when we don't have any money, or we don't get healed, or we don't feel good, or things don't go well? Because we've got our expectations up here. But he's saying, drop your expectations and put your expectations in God. Have faith in him. He has a plan too, by the way. He has connections too, by the way. He has things worked out as well. So your little connections and plans and whatever probably don't matter that much if you believe in him. If you trust him, even if terrible things come into your life, he's there with you, guiding and not missing a bit. He's asleep in the boat in the storm, but he's there, and it's all in his hand. It's all in his plan. So have faith and believe him. Why worry? We have to remind ourselves of this, because we don't do it naturally. Naturally, we worry. But we need to remind ourselves again and again. This is foundational. You've got to get this right. Otherwise, you lose your faith. So, we know that we are his. He knows that we are his. We turn from iniquity. We hear the word that he speaks to us and do it. We believe in him. Now, there's a few more. Romans 15:20. Paul says here in Romans 15:20 that he doesn't want to build on another man's foundation. Let's look at it. It always has been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Paul did not want to build on another person's foundation. Now we can, you know, get alongside someone else and kind of work with them and build on their foundation, and it might feel good, but it doesn't necessarily mean that anything's being built, right? If you build next to someone but you don't have a foundation, what you build is going to fall down. What they build might stand fine, but what you build won't be on your foundation. God wants you to build on your foundation, not someone else's. Now, you might read a missionary book and you know, learn all the ways of some great missionary who went to some country, but that's not the country you're in. That's not the time that you're in. That's not the situation that you're in. And so if you try to imitate that person and their ways without understanding what God's doing in you, you're going to be building a building that doesn't suit and won't stand. What is God doing in you now, at this time, in this age, in this context? Now, in the Philippines, we might be doing it this way. You know, we might have drums that are so loud that people can't even think, rather than, you know, an organ or a piano or a guitar. If we were in India, you know, we might have a loudspeaker on the top of the church so the whole neighborhood would have to listen to our messages. But we're not. We're here in Japan, and you've got to be careful not to upset the peace. What is God doing here in us? That's what's most important. It might not seem much, but if that's what God's doing in you, that's what's most important. Paul could have gone around and built on everyone else's foundation. Oh, this is great Paul. Paul's coming, you know, the big evangelist, the big teacher. Let's give him a big hand, the man of God. He could have done that, but he didn't. He didn't want to do that. He just wanted to go to places where God's word had not been preached and let God build the foundation in his work. Please don't try to build on someone else's foundation. Please let God work in you, in your context, and do what he wants to do in your life. And let's try to understand what God's doing in each other's lives, recognize it, and encourage each other in those various works. That's what we should be doing and focusing on. Yeah. Two more. Counting the cost. Luke 14. Jesus says here, if a person builds a tower, you should sit down and think about it first. Luke 14:29. This is foundational. 28, sorry. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you had enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and you're not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. What does it mean? It means the things that we're building up is the eternal city. We're building now the eternal city. And we've got to make sure that we have the ability to complete what we start. Now, I fail at this all the time. I start things without thinking if I can finish it. And then I end up getting burdened with too many things at the same time. And, you know, it's so stressful. We've got to be careful not to do that. It's a struggle. But this is the truth. We have to think, what is this ministry? Is this idea from God? If it is, do I have the material? God is the one who provides. But how much time is it going to take? How much effort is it going to take? How much commitment is it going to take? And do I have that? I'd like to sponsor every pastor in the Philippines, but I can't because we only have certain resources. And if I'm going to sponsor one guy properly or two guys, then I've got to commit to them and not to everyone else, right? John Wesley was a very good missionary. He was a good pastor. He slept 3 hours a night every day of his life. That's all he slept. And even then, a lot of the time it was on a horse. He said when he got married, or earlier he said he wasn't going to get married. And then his brother Charles told him not to get married, and all the other people said, don't get married. But he said, no, I'm going to get married. But when I get married, I will not neglect, I won't decrease my responsibilities and Christian duties, anything. I won't let it decrease even a slight bit. That was foolish, because Jesus said, Paul said, if you get married, you've got to concern yourself about the things of your wife, not just the things of the Lord. If you're single, you can just focus on the things of God. But he said, no, I'm going to have the same standard even when I'm married. He didn't count the cost of what marriage was, and he ended up having a very disastrous marriage, where his wife would stand out his meetings yelling out, you know, causing trouble. and it was a failed marriage in many ways, it seems. He shouldn't have got married because he didn't count the cost of what it would take. So we've got to think, what is the thing God wants me to do, and what is it going to take to do it? Homeschooling? All right, if you're going to homeschool, you're not going to have the same amount of time as people who don't. It's very simple mathematics. Count the cost. Count the time. Is it really important? If it is, do it, and don't try to do everything else. If you're working full-time, then you're not going to have the same time as people who aren't. Count the cost. If you're going to learn language, count the cost. If you're going to do anything, count the cost. Will you be able to finish this? That's foundational to us, to building a city and a building that's going to last for eternity. Finally, 1 Timothy 6:19. This kind of sums it all up. 1 Timothy 6:19. Hey, 1 Timothy 6:19. All right, it says here, well, let's go from 18. I started in the middle. 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. So that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. When we look in Revelation 21, we see that the foundation stone is decorated with jewels. What are those jewels? Well, here he tells us what they are. Verse 18, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and generous and willing to share. That is what is decorating our foundation. That is what is building our foundation. So for all of eternity, you're going to have a mansion in heaven, but you are building that mansion now by the works that you do. You're not getting into heaven by the works that you do. You're establishing your mansion by the works that you do. And maybe that's why it doesn't go into details telling us about all the houses in heaven, because God maybe wants us to work out our own salvation, you know? He wants us to build as good as we can. Be rich in good works. Think about the needs of other people before ourselves. Willingly share. Willingly be generous. These are very hard things. But every time you're doing that, you're putting a jewel in your foundation. You're building your eternal home. That's an amazing thought. You know, you might think, oh, I don't want to give this up. Well, if you don't give it up now, it's not going to go into your mansion. You know, you may as well. No point in having a can of paint sitting on the shelf. Better to use it if there's a good purpose. So through all these things, the foundation is being built now. We are building that foundation now. God knows those who are his turn away from iniquity. Hear the word of God that God is speaking to you and do it. That's foundational. The basic things of our faith, repentance from dead works, eternal judgment, laying on of hands, getting baptized, those things, that's foundational. We need to move beyond that if we're mature. But we have to continually keep those things in mind. But God's special work in you and not in another person, that's foundational. Don't try to be someone else. Count the cost so that you don't try to do what you can't do. And finally, remember that everything you're doing every day is building that foundation. はい。はい、では、まあ、今日はいっぱい喋ったから、本当は第2後半がありましたけど、でもそれ今度はやりましょう。はい。もう一回ちょっとまとめると、神様の、基礎、神様の土台、石は何を表している？永遠の住まいは、私たちは今その行いによって作りかけています、築き上げています。毎日の良い働き、毎日の施しによって私たちは今その住まいを建てている。だから神様は天国にどんなものがあるかはあまり言ってない。なぜなら決まってないかもしれない。今作ってるから、ね、どんなものか楽しみにしましょう。いっぱい与えて、いっぱい施して、喜んで与える。良い行いをしましょう。他の人を大事にしましょう。それによって、その永遠の土台を宝石に飾っている。うん、代価を計算しましょう。まあ、その計算しようと、どれぐらい の、 努力、時間、の金、まあ、ものが必要か。神様は与えるけど、そのものを実際に捧げれるか、負担になえられない負担を担えないようにあなたの中に神様の特別な働きを強調します。他の人の土台の上じゃなくて、神様はあなたの中でやろうとしているその土台。土台は上の建物もぴったり合わないとダメです、ね、その土台を見たら、ここには台所だろう、ここにはキッチンだろうとか、ここには寝室とかリビングとかは大体分かる。見たらよく考えたら、ね、配管とか見て、ああなるほどなるほど。神様は私たちを特別な建物形に作ろうとしているから、その土台も大事です。その土台と違う形の家を作ったらそれで倒れる、もったいない。神様が私たちに語っているその小さなパン、その小さな御言葉だけを受け入れて、40日間、その力、それを通して、その力によって最後まで生きる神様が与えたその言葉はすごい力がある。だからいっぱいのものをね、ごちそうしたら逆に、うわー、お腹痛い、動けない寝たいとか言うかもしれないけど、神様に与えられるものだけ食べたら40日間いける。神様は私たちは知っています。私たちは神様のものですので、不義から離れましょう。はい、それは基礎、私たちの永遠の基礎です、はい、その永遠の基礎をしっかりしたものにしましょう。はい、じゃあ、祈りましょう。神様、感謝します。本当に あなたの恵みのために感謝します。あなたは本当に私たちの人生を用いて永遠の住まいを立つ必要は全くないのに、憐れみによって本当に良い心によって私たちに対して思いやりをしてくださって、優しくしてくださっています。本当にもう何とも言えません。感謝します。どうか神様、できるだけその住まいを神様の栄光のために、あなたの光が透き通って良い光に輝くように助けてください。毎日神様の御言葉を聞きながら 神様の奉仕を見分けながら、実際に実行しながら、その基礎を据えれるように助けてください。本当に感謝します。イエス様の御名によって祈ります。アメン。